Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins. It's Monday, it's March, spring March. We've got music playing in the background. I'm going to try and fade that out. Hold on a second. There we go. Hope you can hear me. This is Jan Mulligan on Who Cares Wins. Angela's sitting in Australia. No, New Zealand, she's moved. Did you see the tweets? She's in rainy, hailstorms, all sorts.
Oh,
Temp Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent.
We've got the gremlins
Kent.
In today.
We offer ongoing okay, work, weekly pay, stop. And a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells
531-777.
Something's
mad happening here. We'll wait for that to stop. And hopefully we have silence. I'm going to blame the relationship coordinator who hasn't got my relationship with the console hitting us today.
It'll all be working by the end of the hour. It's fine.
Absolutely. So with me today, I have Kerry Hales in Angela's hot seat.
Hello.
We want to warm Angela up in the hailstorms that she's been having here. But our special guest today is Claire Brummell, the relationist. Hello, Claire.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. You're delighted to be here.
You're very welcome. And hopefully you can smooth out our technical relations as we go.
It'll all be in perfect harmony by the end of the hour.
Absolutely.
Don't worry.
So, Claire, you're representing, if I can put it that way, you have your business, Love, Polarity and Passion.
Mm-hmm.
So, three very key words there.
Absolutely.
The one in the middle is probably the one that people are going, polarity. But before we come to that, as you may know, and listeners to the show will know, we like to get to know our guests in terms of their background, mm-hmm. where they've come from, what's led them to today. And you've got quite an interesting story.
Yes.
We're going to take you back. How far back you want to go is entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. But the business is before where you are today, because poles apart. Maybe that's the polarity.
Well, absolutely. And it's interesting because the business is before, but I think my journey really began way, way, way back when I was at school. I was bullied quite severely at every school I went to. And I put on this layer of protection to try and look after myself and protect myself from that. I went on and studied what I've since discovered of quite masculine studies. I went on to university, studied IT, and I took this very kind of masculine persona with me. It was great actually, because I studied IT, so I was surrounded by guys, and I knew exactly how to connect with them. I connected with them the same way they bonded with each other. I mean, I didn't earn my stripes by knowing more about IT than they did, although that sometimes happened. But it was I earned my stripes because I could drink them all under the table. That's how the guys bonded, right. And I fitted right in. And when I left university, I went on and I worked in IT for a while and did project management. And it was tough because I had to prove myself. Mm-hmm. I was the quote unquote girl in IT.
Yeah.
And my first job, I had no calls coming through to my phone when I first started. And by the time I worked on contract for a year, and by the time I came through, 80% of the calls came to my phone first. Mm-hmm. So I'd done my job and I'd proven myself, but I really wasn't happy. And I then moved into what people might think is a more feminine vocation, marketing, creative. Well, maybe, but not when you work in video games, it isn't.
Oh, no.
Sonic the Hedgehog, lots of fun, but not one to get in touch with your feminine side. So again, I was in this really male-dominated, masculine, competitive environment. And I was really good at my job. I proved myself. But video games didn't really do it for me. It wasn't really... something just didn't feel right. Yeah. So I'd moved into more mainstream media. I worked in TV and film. But again, very competitive, cutthroat industry. And I just thought, you know, I'm not happy here. Because I was having to put on this really, this armor to just be in business. I thought to be successful, I had to prove myself, I had to compete with everyone around me. And the challenge I had was that not only did I bring those qualities to the office, I also brought them to my relationships.
Right.
I had the armor on still. I was very competitive. I always wanted to prove that I was right and I knew best and I could fix all the problems myself. Now, I don't know whether anyone's ever told you that. Those aren't qualities that most men look for in their ideal woman.
It's funny that.
Who knew? I went through relationship after relationship after relationship. It was just a disaster. And I often actually laugh I have a good giggle to myself if I think about some of my ex-partners looking me up and saying, she does what now? Because it's just so far removed from where I used to be. And then we have these moments in our lives when things aren't going quite the way that they should be, that something or someone comes along and rather forcefully suggests that we go in a new direction. Well, that's what happened to me. Within the space of 6 months, I had two major incidents. I was at an event in London and I got trampled. And
what sort of event?
It was a motivational event, believe it or not. It was very motivating.
It was changing.
Yes, it was kind of motivating, inspiring, business related sort of thing. And when I say I got trampled, I didn't mean it kind of got a bit raucous on the way to the ladies' room at lunchtime. I was jumping to catch something that had been thrown into the audience and I got knocked to the ground, and a lot of people who were jumping to catch it landed on top of me.
Oh, God.
And I got hospitalised. I had quite severe back and neck injuries, and I was actually so badly injured that I couldn't attend my best friend's father's funeral. And for me, that was like the low point. It really was. And then add to that that 6 months later, the man who I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, it was the day before Valentine's Day, and I was really excited to see what he had planned. Unfortunately, what he had planned was leaving
Brilliant
at
timing.
11 o'clock at night, the day before Valentine's Day. And as he walked out the door, he took my partner, my best friend, my business advisor, my technical support, and a large amount of my savings account.
Nice chap.
Absolutely. He's a quality guy. But you know what? It was a gift and the lessons I took from it. And when I took those two things together, I just thought, you know what? Life is too short.
Right.
That was the universe screaming at me. You've got to do something about this. And I'd been a disaster zone. I made every mistake in the book when it came to relationships. And I realized at that point that relationships really were the key, and that life was too short to be constantly waiting for the next thing in order to be happy, waiting for tomorrow, next week, next month, when we do this, when we do that, then things will be all right. And I figured that actually it started with me. I needed to figure it out for myself. So I went on, I went into mission mode. talk about being in your masculine. I just wanted to know as much as I could. And actually my compensation for the injuries I sustained was to go to an event on the opposite side of the world where I learned about intimate relationships. I learned about masculine and feminine. And to me, masculine and feminine, I mean, I hadn't thought about that since GCSE French. I still don't know why table is feminine, but hey. I'd not even thought about the words or what they meant to me. And I realized that I'd spent the majority of my life trying to be a guy, because I thought that's what I needed to do to be successful. And the reason I was so unhappy was that I wasn't being myself. So sort of long story short, I just became a sponge for information about relationships. I wanted to learn how to cultivate the kind of relationship that I really wanted in my life. And I studied with all these experts all over the world. And I started to shift my relationships in new and amazing ways. And people started asking me for some advice and for some help and some guidance. And I started to share my knowledge. And the more I shared, the more people wanted to know. And Love, Polarity and Passion was born. So
out of some pretty shocking disasters in a way to your life,
yes,
and self-exploration, you now are the expert.
Absolutely.
So a tough way to find out, but worthwhile by the smile on your face.
Yeah, I think that in order to become an expert in anything, you have to walk the path. I mean, if I'd known intuitively how to have the perfect relationship from the beginning, I couldn't relate to all of the people who come to me going, I'm a disaster zone. The number of people who call me up and they say, I've read your about page, I've read your story, it's like reading my life. I'm like, yes, that's how I know how to guide somebody from where they are to where they want to be, because I've been there, I've lived it. And I think that it's in overcoming those challenges, that's where the real learning comes.
Okay. Now we're going to be, as the show progresses, asking you some questions about problems in relationships, common problems and how to overcome them. But if we can just for a moment stay on to the business side of things, and what might somebody comes across your website or word of mouth hears about you, what might they expect when they make contact? Are they going to have telephone contact, Skype, face-to-face?
It depends, really. Right. I very much work with what works for the individual. So when somebody reaches out to me, if somebody is interested in my help, the first thing I suggest them to do is to have a discovery session with me, which is where it's a very informal chat. It's a getting to know you session, because ultimately they need to know, am I the right person for them to work with? Can I help? I need to find out more about them and find out, well, what's their situation? What help do they need? I need to know that I can help them before things go any further. Yeah. And that can happen. I find it works better over Skype, because we've got the face-to-face. We can visually see each other.
Skyping, yeah.
Absolutely. Some people prefer to do it over the phone. Some people, depending, and some people even want to meet face-to-face. To be honest, any way is fine with me. I'm all about serving the people who come to me in the way that works for them best. So it's really about understanding their needs and making sure that we can discover whether I'm the right fit for them, they're the right fit for me. And ultimately, if we are, then we look at what are the options and how can we take things further.
Right. And now you've obviously got the experience because you've been through the process, mm-hmm. and you've mentioned courses that you've been on.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of those courses ending up with any kind of professional qualification?
Well, I've got a number of qualifications. I'm a Master's NLP practitioner. I'm a Master Life Coach. And
just for listeners who don't know NLP?
NLP is something called Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So it's about understanding how our brain works, right. and understanding how to get into somebody else's world in order that we can better communicate with them. But for me, I find that it's the real life experience that's been my biggest teacher. And if there was some sort of degree or qualification in bad relationship history to great relationship mm-hmm. present, I'd have a PhD. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we just, Dr. Claire is in the room.
I like that. Dr. Claire is in the house.
So if you have any questions for Dr. Claire, as we're naming her today, please do tweet us at CaresWins. We're going to take a short music break now, and Gremlins allowing, this should be Black Eyed Peas. Join us after this.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I got a feeling, ooh, that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. Kick it off. Tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. Tonight's the night. Let's live it up.
Let's live it up.
I got my money.
Hey,
let's spin it up.
Let's spin it up.
Go out and smash it.
Smash it.
Like on my god.
Like on my god.
Jump out that sofa.
Come on.
Let's kick it off. Fill up my cup.
Drink.
Mazel tov.
L'chaim.
Look at her dancing.
Move it, move it.
Just take it off. Let's paint the town.
Paint the town.
We'll shut it down.
Shut it down.
Let's burn the roof.
Woo.
And then
won't do it again.
Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, and do it, and do it, let's live it up and do it, and do it, and do it, do it, do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, do it, do it, do it.
Here we come, here we go, we gotta rock, 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 rock. Easy come, easy go, now we on top, 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 top. Feel the shot, body rock, rock it, don't stop, 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 stop. Round and round, up and down, around the clock.
Radio.
Well, the night might be good, but we're looking at the daytime, and we're in the studio on Who Cares Wins with Claire Brummell, the relationist of Love, Polarity and Passion. It's a brilliant name, and that's the name of your new website.
It is, yes. We launched on the 13th of February, and it seemed the three things that were really key to intimate relationships, and it was one of those things that I just came up with one day and I thought, yes, that feels right.
And we mentioned polarity earlier. And I think before we go any further, we need to know, what is polarity?
What is polarity? Well, polarity exists everywhere in nature. It's the attraction that exists between two opposites. So if you think about the north and south of a magnet, or if you think about the plus and minus of a battery. And the reason that polarity was really important for me to get into what I'm doing now is that my understanding and the fact that I had completely no idea about masculine and feminine before I started doing this work, it's been a real eye-opener for me. It's been the huge light bulb around intimate relationships. And the polarity is the attraction between the masculine and feminine. So it's important to say there's a few kind of caveats here. Most women are more feminine at their core. Most men are more masculine at their core. There are exceptions either way. And also when we're talking about same-sex relationships, masculine and feminine still exists within that.
Right.
So and what it's important to understand is that if you imagine that the masculine is the north end of a magnet and the feminine is the south, if you put two of the same side together, so if you put two north ends of a magnet together, what happens? They repel. Mm-hmm. They push each other away. If you imagine two pieces of metal that aren't magnetized in any way, shape or form, and you put them near to each other, they don't have any effect on each other. They don't repel, but they don't attract either.
Right.
Whereas if you take the north and the south of the magnet and you put them anywhere in the same vicinity, they get pulled instantly together. And that's something that's really important and really missing in a lot of our relationships these days, is this understanding that we need to balance out and get a good healthy balance of the masculine and feminine, mm-hmm. in order to create that magnetic attraction between us.
Right.
We've all got both masculine and feminine inside us, but we tend one way or the other naturally at our core, and it's about bringing out that core and enabling ourselves to make the most of the polarity in our relationship.
Thank you for that. I had my science polarity hat on. Hadn't never applied it to people before.
No, I'm speechless.
But you're not allowed to be speechless.
Well, I'm sitting here listening, and I'm sure like, listeners are sitting and listening. And go, oh yeah, actually, yeah, I can see that now. I can. It gives them more clarity of actually trying to figure out, because people do become like you've become very masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get impacted by your work, and then you think you have to be a certain way, a certain person to be successful, and then you try and you try and put that in your relationship, and then funnily enough, men aren't attracted to women who's trying to be a man.
Absolutely. And yet when you do kind of connect in with that feminine side, I mean, I still utilize my masculine. There are times within my business where it's essential for me to utilize it.
Absolutely.
But when I'm in my when I'm with my partner, I get to relax back into where feels natural for me.
Yeah.
And that creates an attraction between us. And the more I'm in my feminine, the more he steps into his masculine. The more he steps into his masculine, the more I step into my feminine. It creates this beautiful exponential curve where we bring out the best in each other, and that creates an attraction for the two of us.
Wow. So we've got quite a few questions. As you can imagine, I had a feeling. It's very difficult because there's so many questions to ask.
Your starter for 10.
My starter for 10. So the one that I think is like would be a really good question was, what are the biggest blocks to happiness in relationships? Mm. I mean, happiness, you know, full stop. But in actual relationships, can you...
Yeah.
Some of your wisdom.
Absolutely. And I think one of the main challenges in relationships is that people believe that in order to affect a relationship, both people need to be actively engaged in the act of trying to change the relationship. Mm-hmm. So if a relationship isn't quite working, or you're having some challenges, or you're having some problems, there's this belief that both people have to be engaged in trying to change it in order for things to change. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I've realized, I've come to understand through the work I've done, is that actually one person has the ability to change a relationship. And a lot of people, when I say that, go, oh, that can't possibly be right. But if I can get
people
you to just
blame.
Exactly. Mm. And that's where a lot of the challenge comes, is that it's all about how can I blame you for what you're not doing or not what you are doing that's causing the challenge, rather than actually concentrating on how I can change the relationship. Mm-hmm. So if I can get you just to picture something in your mind, you picture two circles that are overlapping, and you've got one of the circles is blue and one of the circles is yellow. So the blue circle represents person number one, and the yellow circle represents person number two. Mm-hmm. Now, the relationship is the point at which those two circles interact and influence and affect each other. So if you have a blue circle and a yellow circle, the crossover becomes green, so the relationship is green. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to imagine person number one is staying exactly the same. Person number two, however, changes themselves. They become red. Well, if person number two becomes red, the relationship becomes purple. The entire relationship has changed by definition because person number two has changed.
Right.
So it's important to understand that we've got the ability to affect our relationships irrespective of what the other person does. Now, the reason this is helpful is because when we start to do something different, when we start to want to create change and want to improve our relationship, make things better, it's important to understand that as soon as we start to do that, and we start to do it in a way where we're taking responsibility for our own stuff and the choices that we've made that have caused the challenges that we're having right now, then the other person actually becomes more inclined to do the same. If we try to change them, if we try and blame them for what's happening and say, you've got to change, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, we actually give away our power, because we say, you're the one who's responsible for whether our relationship works or not. Mm-hmm. Actually, when we show up and go, well, actually, if I take responsibility for my choices, I'm taking back my power in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it means that actually we get to move from a position of being the victim of somebody else's behavior to being empowered to make different choices that are going to affect our relationship in a positive way. So actually being able to understand that we've got the power to affect our relationships can make a huge difference to the happiness in relationships, because we're not waiting for somebody else to do their part in order to create happiness in our relationship. We can be responsible for it ourselves.
Wow.
So what are sort of the common mistakes people make? So you've mentioned there, you know, trying to change the other person, but are there some others you think, oh yes, I've seen that before?
Absolutely. So the blame thing is a huge one. Like pointing the finger at somebody else is massive, because it doesn't actually help anybody. Some of the other common mistakes are, one of the things that I see so often in relationships is that people wear masks. We end up projecting the mask of who we think the other person wants us to be, who we think the other person likes, who we think the other person will want, who we think the other person will be attracted to. And the challenge with that is that you actually don't engage at that point in a proper relationship, because the other person's in a relationship with the projection of you, not you with the mask. Exactly. Yeah. They're in a relationship with the mask. What tends to happen also is that you, by putting a mask on, you give them permission to put a mask on. So you've got two masks having a relationship with each other. People who aren't actually engaging with the other person at all. Mm. So what is important to understand is that the mistake is trying to be somebody that you're not. Right. What you want to do is you want to be yourself within a relationship. Yeah. Because ultimately you want to be with somebody who chooses you for being you. Mm-hmm. Where you can be all of yourself, warts and all, we've all got our challenges, we've all got our pluses and minuses.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
We've got
our
great qualities and our more challenging qualities. I know I'm a relationship expert. I know I have my challenges.
It's a good job she's here, Jan. It's a good job she's here. I hope Frank's listening.
But it's really important for us to understand that the only way we can create a real relationship is by being ourselves and by allowing the other person to see all of us and be who we are. Another thing is that a lot of people, we don't get taught about relationships. Nobody comes along in primary school and says, hey, this is how you find your ideal partner. There's no university degree to say, how do you overcome a problem with your partner? And we don't make the effort to learn about relationships. There is great content out there. I know I've studied most of it. And it's the reason that I do what I do now, is to help people, because it's like if you were trying to learn to drive, if you were trying to drive a car and you've never driven a car before, you're not going to jump in. Well, the chances are you're probably not going to jump in without any lessons or any learning and get it to move smoothly. You're going to stall the car, you're going to grind the gears, you're probably going to bunny hop along the road. Ultimately, if you want something, relationships are so important. They affect every area of our life. And ultimately, if you want to be great at relationships, it takes a little bit of investment of time and energy to find out how to make relationships
otherwise
work.
Otherwise, you're going to be bunny hopping for a long time.
Exactly. And ultimately, you can bunny hop your way to a great relationship, but it takes a long time to get there.
I want to get in the fast lane. That would be Ange as well.
And then the other thing, and the other most common problem that I see, is people just not putting the effort into their relationships. We get into a relationship, we create some sort of commitment with each other, and we get complacent. We think they're always going to be there. So the way that I encourage people who work with me to think about their relationships is to be in the relationship as if there's no guarantee the person's going to be there tomorrow. So if you want the person to continue choosing you tomorrow, you have to show up for them today. You've got to be the way that they want the way that they would want their partner to be. You've got to make the effort towards them. You've got to put the time and the energy into. And it's so easy. Life gets in the way. Our job gets in the way. The housework gets in the way. The kids get in the way.
That was one of my questions. It was like, what do you do if life, kids, business has got in the way? I mean, it's like I have, you know, a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old boys. You know, we've got business.
Interesting
most
ages.
Got, yes. It's busy and loud in our house. And we've both got businesses that we run. So that's sort of like, what do you do if, you know, we've got so many things that are pulling us in different ways to sort of to make that time for each other? What are your tips?
Well, the first thing to do is to consciously choose to make that time. The most important thing you've got to do is say, this is so important to me that I need to make some time for this. Does it matter if the dishes get done right now? Well, maybe not. Could they get left for a couple of hours? Probably. There are other things that we end up prioritizing the things that shout loudest, which often in households are the children. So that's why the children come first. The thing to remember is that in order to show up and be great parents, you've got to be looking after yourselves as well. And in order to be great parents, you need to look after the relationship. Ultimately, you're teaching your children how to have great intimate relationships. They will end up modeling what you do for themselves. So if you really want to show them how to create great relationships for themselves, you first got to do it for yourself. It's a way of serving both you and your children. And it takes choice. It takes some organization and some planning and some saying every now and again, can we get our parents to look after the kids, or a friend to take them for an evening? My partner and I, we don't have kids, but we have a regular date night where we spend quality time together, which is about us connecting. And it's important to do that.
If that's a named day and time versus being slightly more spontaneous, is there good and bad?
It works both ways. So I did an interview recently for Mother and Baby magazine, and they were asking me, how do you how do you deal with not being able to be spontaneous? And I said, well, the best thing you do is you plan time to be spontaneous. Right. So you don't have to plan what you're going to do with the time. If you want to have that spontaneity and the excitement of being able mm-hmm. to have a bit of an adventure with it, but you need to, when other factors come into your life, you've got to plan that time and make sure that you're going to get that time together. And if you want to plan it, because that's the sort of people you are, that's great. If you want to say, well, we don't know what we're going to do when we get there, but this time is our time. When we get there, we'll fly by the seat of our pants and see where the wind takes us. That way you get the best of both worlds, but you definitely make sure that you get that time together.
Mm. We're going to get a report next week.
Planning your diary now.
Frank, are you listening? We're going to take another short music break, and we'll be back after the break with more from Claire Bramall, Love, Polarity and Passion.
Sometimes I feel like throw my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the going is just too rough. Anything goes, no matter what I do. Now and then it seems like the life is just too much. But you've got the love I need to see me through. When food is gone, you are my daily need. Oh. When friends are gone, I know my savior's love. Things you love, you lose. But you've got the love I need to see me through.
It's difficult to imagine 11 years. If a man kisses his wife goodbye every day, over 11 years his lips have been pressed against hers for 14 days. If every day you jump the last step of your stairs, in 11 years you've fallen through the air over a kilometer like a skydiver. How long is 11 years? It's how long the record of a 12-month driving ban stays on your license. Time, gentlemen, please. Think. Don't drink and drive.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins with me, Jan Mulligan, my co-presenter, Kerry Hales, mm-hmm. and our guest today, Claire Bramall, Love, Polarity and Passion. Now, before the break, we mentioned Love, Polarity and Passion mm-hmm. and the website.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a woman of many talents because you've written an ebook.
I have.
And second one on the way.
Yes.
You've done some video promotions and video physical courses. Dating courses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a twist to that last video dating course that you produced.
Yes, it was interesting. I wanted to create a way for single women to be able to attract in the kind of relationship that they desired and deserved. And I was just in the final stages of putting the content together. And a friend of mine said to me, have you done your processes as in the course? And I said, of course I've done my processes. Authenticity is really important to me. I was like, of course I have. And he said, no, have you done it exactly as they're packaged in the course? And I said, oh, that's interesting. I haven't done them exactly as they are in that order.
As a customer, in a way, as somebody signing up to the course,
exactly.
As they would go through it. Right.
Exactly. And I said, that's a really good point. I'm going to do that. So I was single at the time. And I decided one Thursday that I was going to put myself through my processes to share authentically about my experience. And so I began on the Thursday, and I met my partner on the Sunday, 3 days later. Now, I have to say that there's a little caveat to that, that there's no, I'm not saying that this is a magic wand, that if you do the course 3 days later, your Prince Charming will show up. Now, for me, it was the reason that I'd sort of said, yes, I put myself through my processes was because I'd been living the processes for the year.
Right.
It was really, a lot of it is about understanding yourself, creating a great relationship with yourself, understanding your needs and learning about relationships of masculine and feminine. So I'd actually spent a year doing that. So it was just a question of once I finally put those the intention out there, which was what obviously doing the course had done. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, he appeared, and it was a quality of man and a quality of relationship that, if I've been honest, a couple of years ago I'd probably given up hope on.
Really?
And through the work that I've been doing, I realized that actually that was kind of short-sighted, that there were some great men out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just needed to figure out how I needed to be in order to attract one into my life, and lo and behold, I said, now I'm a walking testimonial, so I know this stuff works.
Excellent.
So that's a relationship that's new and fresh and lovely. And as we all know, that there's of us who have been in relationships for a long time, sometimes they plateau and they get a bit stale.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of tips, what sort of, what can you help us out with for those relationships that need a little bit more of a oomph?
Yeah, it's. I think, again, this is where this whole kind of commitment and complacency stuff comes in.
Mm.
If you're in a long-term relationship and you have committed that you're going to be together, part of the challenge is that we don't really think that we're actively choosing the person every day. It's like, well, we've made the choice once and they're always going to be there, so that's okay. So what my invitation first and foremost is to shift to choosing each other every day, and actually say, I want to keep choosing you and I want him to keep choosing me. If I want him to keep choosing me, the reason that he chose me at the beginning was because I was putting the effort in right at the beginning. Like when we first started dating, think of all the things that you did to cultivate that attraction with him, and the things that he did to show you how he cared about you. So finding ways to communicate how you care about each other, making the time that is about quality time for you, where you get out of your routine, you get out of the day-to-day, step away from the television, move away from the microwave, get away from the kids, and actually have some time to really enjoy each other's company. And then the other things I would suggest is looking at ways that you can get to know each other all over again, because you can know somebody for years and there's still stuff that you don't know about them. Like when we first start dating, part of the attraction is we're curious about each other, we want to know more. And there's some great like games out there which are about getting to know your partner better. There are some great apps for your phone which are about asking a partner different questions. Use it as almost like a second dating period. Like view it as something you want to cultivate on an ongoing basis, and get curious about, well, what do you really like? What do you really want? What do you really need? Because when you get what they like, they want, and they need, there's your magic formula for how to continue to create attraction with them. And what I would invite you to do is to look continually for new ways to meet those needs, because it's when we get into the patterns, that's when this kind of stagnation happens. We want to be looking for new ways to meet each other's needs.
Oh, liking, wanting, needing.
Absolutely.
It's going to be my mantra. I'm going to ask him, do you like one to kneel?
I guess if I kind of know the answer to this one before I ask it, the formula to the perfect relationship, people, you know, you meet people along the way and they say, oh, we were friends before we fell in love,
mm-hmm.
or we had a common goal or passion and that brought us together. Are you finding a pattern along the way? Is every relationship different?
The pattern is that there is no pattern.
Right.
That,
I knew you were going to yes. say that.
The thing is,
no,
is that
there has to be a pattern. There has to be. That's why you're here.
I can help anybody in any relationship to create what they want. The thing is that different people come to it in different routes, and different people have different things that are important to them. Mm-hmm. Like some people like passion, adventure and excitement, that's really important to them. So having somebody for somebody else, it's about having stability and safety and security and a kind of deep friendship connection. What I encourage people to do is to look for where they're what are the things that they currently don't have. So maybe if they've got that friendship connection but they want a little bit more excitement, they infuse a bit of that into it. If they've got the passion, that might be great, but it also may be a little bit unstable. So maybe we want to bring a bit of not safety, security, a bit of certainty, a bit of regularity to it. So it's about understanding we're all going to come to these things in different ways. Some people start as friends, some people start as passionate lovers, and the friendship deepens over time. There are all these different ways that we find our way to it. It's a question of what does it, and the reason that there's no pattern to it is because there is no such thing as a formula for the ideal relationship, because what an ideal relationship is to me and what it is to you and yeah. what it is to the listeners could be completely different. If you know what your ideal relationship looks like, you can create that for yourself with your partner mm-hmm. by combining your ideal relationship and their ideal relationship and finding that magic formula between the two.
I presume it's also being flexible, because if you're steadfast, this is my ideal relationship,
mm-hmm.
you may let things pass you by and miss out.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing, I mean, one of the things that I encourage people to do when they're dating is to not have lists that are too long.
Because you're not buying a home.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, what are your deal breakers? Those are the most important things to focus on. I had a woman once who said he needs to deal with the spiders in the house. I said, if your Prince Charming showed up tomorrow, he had every quality. He was honest, trustworthy, good father, all these great qualities that you really want in a man, but he didn't deal with the spiders in the home, are you going to boot him out? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, maybe not. So it's about really understanding what are your deal breakers, what are the most important things to you, and focusing on those qualities. And then realizing some of them are, well, I'd quite like to have that, I'd want that. And then some of them are nice to have, and some of them, they don't really matter.
Desirables and essentials.
Exactly, exactly.
CV mode. Going to interview you now.
Oh, so in terms of dating, so like for the single people, so we've done quite a bit of the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do quite a lot sort of to help people out with dating, sort of like what would, if people are going back into the dating arena, because obviously that, you know, that is quite common now, and mm-hmm. obviously sort of there's internet dating, there's so many different ways to do that. Where would you start? If all of a sudden, you know, you're sort of, you know, 45 and you're about to, you know, thrown back into the dating arena.
Well, you're right, there are so many different ways of doing it, and I always think that my suggestion is always to try a few and see what works for you, because different things work for different people. Mm-hmm. Some people really get on well with online dating. Some people hate it. Mm-hmm. Some people like starting a new hobby, something that they really are interested in, meet people with similar and common interests. Mm-hmm. That helps them to connect and create a connection from which things can grow. Some people meet through friends. So my invitation is there's a few things that I would suggest. The first thing is to try a lot of different things. The mm-hmm. second thing is to find other people who are in a similar situation who you can share the journey with, because if you're doing it kind of on your own, yeah. it can feel a bit daunting. Mm. The third thing I would say is, really, I would encourage you as much as possible to create a great relationship with yourself first and foremost, mm-hmm. because quite often we go out there looking for something in another person because we're feeling like we're missing something.
Right.
And actually, that's one of the biggest mistakes people make in dating, is they go out there looking for something to complete them, whereas actually what you want is someone to accept you completely and that person's normally you first and foremost. Yeah. So we want to create that great relationship with ourselves. And then finally, the biggest things, especially when it comes to online dating, is one, take the mask off. Yeah. I know it would be really great if everyone fell at our feet, but actually you don't want everyone to fall at your feet. You want the people who are right for you to mm-hmm. be attracted to you. The only way that you're going to find them is by showing yourself.
Otherwise, actually, they could fall in love with your mask.
Exactly.
And then you're going to have to take it off.
You're in all sorts of trouble then, aren't you?
Yeah. So, not good.
And then with online dating, the other thing I would really encourage people to do is to move from online to offline as fast as possible. Because people are afraid of rejection, we tend to hide behind the online. Hide behind the dating sites and the texting and the Facebook and the tweeting.
That photo that's 10 years old.
Exactly. But yeah. You only really find out whether someone's right for you when you get face-to-face with them. You see if there's chemistry, you see if there's a connection. Yeah. So you really want to get transition to that point as fast as possible. Otherwise, you end up in these situations. I've had people where they've been speaking for 3 months and they felt they had this great connection. They've met and they've wasn't what I expected. In which case you've had 3 months where you've kind of imagined this relationship in your mind as to what it would be like when you meet.
You
just want to actually create that to start as soon as possible. So use it as a tool to meet people, but then really get into get out of your own way and allow yourself to just go and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that will help you with doing that is to realize that rejection is awesome. Now people go, what? What do you mean rejection is awesome?
I just sank at that.
I was there, and then it was like, oh,
what? Now, what I mean by that, the thing is that if the wrong person rejects you, it's because they're making way for the right one. You want the people who don't want the real you to walk away. You don't want to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't want the real you. So what you want to do is
hang on, don't they?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm going to hang on. Oh, but I'll change. I'll do this. I'll do that. It's just like,
I'll put my mask
on this person for if they don't want you for.
Exactly. So rejection's great. You say, if someone's rejecting you, fantastic. They've made that space for somebody who sees my value, who sees how amazing I am and who wants to be in a relationship with me.
Right.
Excellent. Now we've got a tweet coming up.
We're
just checking the tweets while Kerry's doing that. In terms of when is the right time to bring up a certain topic, so for example, if you've been through several relationships, nothing's working out, but actually you desperately want kids, or the relationship must include a dog and 3 parrots, but you haven't mentioned any of that yet, is there a point it can go too far and then purely bringing that up is going to be the deal breaker?
I think it's about, and again, the reason that masks create problems in relationships is that once the mask gets removed, whatever the mask is, there's a sense of distrust, because like, well, I thought I knew you, and hang on a second, the you has just vanished off to the side and there's this other person in front of me. And that's why I encourage people to be open and honest. The reason that people wait to say these things is because they're afraid that if someone knows that they're not going to want to be with them. Well, if they know that and they're not going to want to be with you, you don't want to be with them either. You want to be with somebody who's on the same page as you. So while I wouldn't phrase it, I'm desperate to have kids, slightly different signals, but say I'd love to have kids at some point in the future. And when you make that just part of the conversation, the reason that part of the challenge of waiting creates a problem is that it puts an energy around it. There's more stuff attached to it because I'm holding it back. I don't want to say this because they might. And then when you do say it, it's like, we've got to talk. Like, it's like that the one thing that, exactly, everyone like, oh no, what is it? Or I've got to tell you something.
When someone says that to you, is it ever going to be a good thing?
Exactly.
We've got to talk.
Whereas if your heart's,
it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, isn't it? It's like, oh God.
But the funny thing is that if you have the conversation, you have the same thing in the context of just a general conversation, it's easier, it's received better, and the chances are the conversation will actually go a lot easier.
Wow. So many questions. Can you see a tweet that I can't then?
Yeah, no, I apologise. I was getting excited with the tweets coming in. A lot of tweets are retweeting today, so they're disguising themselves. They've put their mask on.
They have.
Being a genuine tweet when they're actually a retweet. So we mentioned all you know, the website, the ebook, the video dating. You're about to go on a world tour.
I am.
Starting with America.
I am. I'm very excited. I'm going to be doing a speaking tour of the US in April, May time. I'm actually, this is a two-part tour. The first part is April, May. And I'm so excited because for me, I'm just the messenger. I really, it's, for me, it's about sharing with people the insights and the understandings about relationships that I wish I'd had years ago. So this is a great opportunity for me to just spread the word a bit further and help other people to understand the things that I wish I'd known that are going to make the difference in their relationships as well. So I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Excellent. Well, we're aware we have listeners in America. So if somebody's thinking, great, how can I go and see Claire? Is there a tour that's advertised?
It's not out there yet because we haven't locked down the dates. They will be confirmed in the next week or two. Okay. But if somebody's interested, then all you need to do is drop onto my website, lovepolarityandpassion.com, sign up for updates. You also get a free video series as part of it. But I will be contacting you to let people know, this is where I'm going to be. This is when you can come and see me. If you'd like to come and meet me in person, then come along and say hi.
Excellent. And well, listeners, if you do that, please let us know. Please send us any photos or tweets of your experience of hearing Claire live. You mentioned there your free video series. What sort of information is in that series?
So I wanted to be able to help people to get started right from the outset. So the video series, it's a 5-part series on the first steps to transforming any relationship. So whether you're in a relationship and you want to improve it, you want to shift it slightly, it's not quite what you want it to be at the moment, or whether you're single and you'd want to be in a relationship, it really does apply to any kind of relationship. Ultimately, it's directed more towards intimate relationships, but it is helping anybody in any relationship situation. Chances are, if you're seeking me out, there's something not quite as you would like it to be. So this is really the starting point to be able to start to shift that.
And do you find, because also you do business relationship as well, do you find a lot of the problems are the same, whether it's an intimate love relationship, whether it's a business relationship, whether it's a family relationship?
Yeah.
Obviously, there are going to be some categories that don't cross over. But on the whole, is it the mask? Is it the misunderstanding?
What I tend to find, there are a few things that really show up in every kind of relationship. Lack of awareness, lack of effort, lack of understanding, lack of personal responsibility. Those are the key things. And it doesn't matter what the relationship is. It's a business relationship. It could be they don't understand the other person in the business relationship, or they don't understand how to create meaningful relationships in a business environment. It could be they're not putting an effort into the relationship in the business context, whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's friendship, whether it's intimate partnerships. The beauty of the principles that I teach is the vast majority of them actually apply to any relationship. And that's why I do help people with relationships in different areas of life. Mm-hmm. Now, the application is different, obviously, in the bedroom versus the boardroom. But it's really important for people to understand that once you get these concepts, certainly for me, these have transformed my relationships in every area of life. The reason my business is so successful now is purely to do with the relationships that I have in my network. People who have supported me, who've promoted me, who've helped spread the word of what I do. The reason I'm doing the speaking tour in the US, that's because of a relationship that got cultivated over time. So for me, it's helped me improve my business relationships. It's helped me improve my relationships with my family, with my friends. My intimate partnership is great, and so
she's smiling again.
That's little. She's got a little glint in her eye every time she mentions him.
It's lovely. That's what we want to create for everybody.
Yeah.
And part of the information you provide is about finding the good fit, the right person for an individual.
Yeah.
If I take that then into business, do you get involved with like the interview process of looking for people?
Yeah, it can do, because ultimately relationships are based on chemistry and mutual understanding. That's true in a business context. I remember I went to an interview once with actually somebody who used to do the interview process on The Apprentice, which was terrifying. I thought I was going to be torn to pieces. But we had a great conversation, and he said, ultimately, first and foremost, this is about chemistry. Do we think we can work together? So the principles still apply in every aspect of the relationship. Do you think what are those what's that person bringing to the table? What are the criteria you're looking for? What are your deal breakers in a business relationship as well as in a personal relationship? So the principles are absolutely transferable to any kind of relationship. And as I said, once you get this stuff, things start transforming all over the place. It's great.
Excellent. Well, It's been a fascinating afternoon.
Well, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience and your knowledge with us. We've got some pointers for the listeners. You mentioned the website.
Yes.
If we can just repeat that for the listeners.
Absolutely. It's lovepolarityandpassion.com.
And that's and as in A-N-D.
A-N-D, yeah. All spelled out.
And if they want to contact you in any other way, what's your preferred method of contact?
Again, it's really what works for the individual. Right. So you can get in contact with me via Facebook, which is facebook.com/lovepolarityandpassion. You can tweet me at lovepassion, or you can send me an email, claire@lovepolarityandpassion.com. Because I'm a relationship expert, I'm all about communication. I'm all about reaching people and meeting them where they're at. So if you reach out to me, that's the first step, and then we work it out from there.
Excellent. Well, we'll be posting all of those details on our Facebook page, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of our relationship connectivities. I like this. And please do keep us in touch, updated with all your tours. If you can tweet us a photo of you by the Empire State Building, that'd be excellent. It's been fascinating talking to you, Claire. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. I've really enjoyed myself.
You're very welcome. Well, we've got a bundle of events. March seems to be spring is sprung.
You're making me work for my living
today.
People
are ready to go. What can we entice people to join in on?
March is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. www.ovarian.org.uk. Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Why did they have to kind of match them up or something?
It's men and women.
So it's like, it's polarity.
It's polarity. See, it shows up everywhere.
So prostate-cancer.org.uk. Daffodil Appeal, the Marie Curie Cancer Care, which is mariecurie.org.uk.
Do you feel that March is Cancer Month?
Yes.
So appeals and
could
knowledge
well
all round.
Yeah. And then National Bed Month.
I like this one.
Importance of getting a good night's rest.
This is the sleep case,
other
though, isn't it?
Well, see, four other things. Yeah, see, we're still in relationship. We weren't going to talk bedtime stuff, Claire. Calm yourself. Now, sleepcancel.com.
That's a brilliant website. I must say, if anybody's having trouble sleeping, if they're uncomfortable, whether you sleep on your own, sleep with a partner, sleep with your pets, the Sleep Council website has got a whole host of information to help you get a good night's sleep.
There you go. And this week is Acupuncture Awareness Week. There you go. Introducing acupuncture.co.uk. I've had that. I love acupuncture.
I do as well.
But yeah, some people.
Well, you look at the needles. We had, sorry, name slips my mind. She's going to kill me. Michelle Mullis came on last year and did acupuncture on Angela. And Angela was a bit nervous beforehand. But we took photos as it was happening and painless. And she felt much better afterwards.
I had amazing.
I've been a lifelong needle phobe, and I had it, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I had acupuncture.
Like most things,
to change my turn my babies around.
Oh,
yeah, amazing.
Do they spin the needle?
Madge Thomas, fabulous. I know. I see. Honestly, anyway. So moving on. Oh, and Endometriosis Awareness Week. Endometriosis-uk.org. March the 6th, we promised us this last week, some local events, which is Thursday. More Than Yoga's next ladies group, Mindwise Choice for Wellbeing, which is in Ramsgate. And that's free, isn't it, if I remember rightly?
I'm not sure on that one.
7:30 to 9, but it is morethanyoga.co.uk.
And if I can skip you now to the Dolphin page. Because this is a free event.
It is a free event. Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier on. So this is Dolphin, which is, if you have trouble with a computer through your visual impairments, Dolphin is one company that can, no matter what your level of sight or your level of computer expertise, Dolphin is a software solution to get you online. And they are going all over the country, but the two local events, there's one in Canterbury on the 5th of March and one in Ashford on the 7th of March.
So, and this, from this Wednesday and this Thursday, Friday rather.
There you go. From 10 till 2:30. So if you have trouble with your computer, if you have visual impairment, there will be a great free event for you to pop along to.
And again, we'll post all of those onto Facebook. And the acronym quiz
number 8. So it's 8 of 12, and they're all on our Facebook page. This is cropped up in several shows, and generally when we are discussing the guest's career. It is CPD.
Excellent.
Acronym quiz number 8. And then we'll talk about next week.
Next week's show, because the weeks are flying by. We're into March. Going to be into April any minute now. But next week we have Juliet Shand, and Juliet is representing Herbs Palsy Group UK. Now, Herbs Palsy is also known as brachial plexus paralysis. It's a condition which, mainly due to birth trauma, can affect one or all of the five primary nerves that supply the movement and feeling to an arm. And every baby will have a different experience and a different outcome from this condition. And the Herbs Palsy Group is the only group within the UK championing the cause, raising awareness, raising funds for research. So Juliet's joining us next week. Tweet us your questions ahead of the show. Drop us an email if you've got any questions for Juliet or for Kerry, myself, or Angela. Angela, we hope you dry out soon, because New Zealand is not as hot and sunny as Australia was. But we hope you're having a great time. Check out Angela's photos on at AJB Angela. That's Another Journey Begins Angela. And we'll be back here next week, Monday, 3 o'clock. All See our listen-agains will be available as usual.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you again, Claire.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Kerry.
Thank you, Jan.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye for now.